On Sunday, November 10th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will feature saxophonist, flutist, multi-reed instrumentalist, and son of Jackie McLean, Renee McLean. Join us as we discuss his career, the New York music scene, studying with his father, and his approach to teaching. That's Sunday, November 10th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar My Bowl is coming on as soon as we can get it started. Thank you, David Kenny, for Everything Old is New Again. Oh, what a beautiful show. You know, our show next week is going to sound something like Everything Old is New Again. I'm trying to stall because of things are cockeyed today. They're cockeyed. Why are they cockeyed? All right, that's it. That's done. So let's do this. I've done that. Play.
Sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
And you are listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Thank you so much, David Kenny of Everything Old is New Again. We're sort of just passing on a bad penny right now. So then we're gonna sort of throw that penny somewhere else right now and present you Renee McLean, son of Jackie McLean. He's got a career of his own. He's a composer, a multi-instrumentalist, wind person. Plays alto and tenor, sax, flute, shakuhachi, and et cetera. Stay tuned. We're going to start off with one of a composition that isn't Renee McLean's, but it's from Kamati Dinizulu, who Ibaye transitioned this year. Stay tuned for what's the show? You know.
I want some sugar. My thank you.
Hi, my name is Joyce Jones, and I'm here with
Renee McLean.
Hi, Renee McLean. Thank you so much for allowing me to be in your space right now. And if we happen to hear chirping, what is that chirping?
Oh, that's my extended family. Those are my parrots.
And how long have you had parrots around?
Oh, they've been around a couple of years. As you know, they have very long lives. They probably outlive me.
Oh, gosh. You were telling me before we recorded that you are a pet-friendly person?
Yes. I grew up having all sorts of creatures. Anything that you could get up the steps in the projects I had.
Your father, Jackie McLean. How was that, having Jackie McLean as a father?
Oh, it was wonderful. And having Jackie McLean and Dolly McLean as parents. I can't talk about one without talking about the other. There'd be no Jackie McLean if it wasn't for the love and dedication of Dolly McLean. And it wouldn't be any of us doing what we do. And it was a very rich cultural environment that I grew up in, our household.
Tell me a little bit about Dolly McLean.
A little bit.
Well, whatever you can tell me.
I can't tell you a little bit. There's a lot to tell about Dolly McLean. Both she and my father have been committed to the music and the culture and helped to build two great institutions. Presently in Hartford, Connecticut, the Artist Collective, which is a cultural program which they founded in the north end of Hartford. It's going into its about 40th year of existence. And as you know, Jackie founded what is now the African American Music Department at the University of Hartford, which is now the Jackie McLean Institute. So that's just a few of the things that they've done.
Was Dolly a instrumentalist, a vocalist?
No, actually, she was an actress and a dancer at one point in time.
How was it studying with your father?
It was wonderful. It was informal. And it was great. I was always with him at his rehearsals and record dates. And he would take me to the clubs. And I'm a child of the idiom. I grew up in that environment. And it exposed me to all the great masters of this music. Plus the community that we lived in, where I grew up, is Lower East Side. They call it Alphabet City or the East Village. They have all sorts of fancy names for it now. But that's the community I grew up in. And everybody that you could think of, particularly during the 60s, lived in that community. From Sun Ra to Booker Ewen, Hank Mobley, Pharoah Sanders, Sonny Rollins. The list is long.
Now you play saxophone?
Yes, I play alto, tenor, flute, soprano, and other miscellaneous woodwinds, flute, shakuhachi, and me.
I understood that how you obtained your saxophone. Your father, Jackie McLean, had given you like pieces of it at a time?
Well, he started me out with pieces. He first gave me mouthpiece and some reeds, and I blew on that forever and drove everybody in the house crazy. Then he added the neck to it, and I had the neck and the mouthpiece, and then eventually the whole horn. His whole concept was that start with that, so by the time I get the horn, I would have somewhat of an armature developed already. And so that's how I got the horn. But initially, I started out playing the guitar. You know, I played the guitar for a period of time before I switched to the saxophone. However, the saxophone was my first preference, but my parents felt I should take another instrument. That's what I did.
Do you still play guitar?
No. I wish I did. I should have kept that up. I love the guitar. It's one of my favorite things. But I play all the reeds in the woodwinds.
Now, I think you mentioned that you had started gigging when you were 9.
Well, I started studying musically seriously at that age with my dad. And later on, I was in the music class all through elementary school, secondary school, high school, and I was the music room monitor. So I had to dispense the instruments to the other students in the band. During that time in New York City, in the public school system, you had in schools, every school had a music class and an art class. So I was always in music class. So having that experience in school exposed me to all the other instruments. So I would bring home all sorts of instruments, brass instruments, whatever I could get my hands on.
So how old were you when you did start gigging?
About, I guess, 13, 14.
Do you remember your first gig?
Oh, yeah, well, I had a, you know, in the community I grew up in, you either played sports or you played music. So I was part of the, I played sports, but we had a music clique. There was a whole gang of us on the Lower East Side. And my first band consisted of myself, another friend of mine that played saxophone. It was two saxophones and a conga player. Mm. And we would play out in the park. We would play in the community center. We would play for different dances and things like that. So that's...
Was that Tompkins?
A street musician.
Was that Tompkins Square Park that you were playing?
I played in Thompson Square Park on the Lower East Side, East River Drive, that whole area, yeah. You know. I grew up in the projects on Avenue D, the Lillian Wall houses on East Houston Street. And then we moved up to 20 Avenue D, which was at D and 3rd Street, right there in the projects. And when you walked straight up 3rd Street and crossed Avenue C, between Avenue C and B was Slugs. Mm. And everybody knows the history of Slugs, of all the great music that came through there. My band and I, we would play in there in the afternoons. It was a neighborhood bar with sawdust on the floor, and they had a beat-up piano, and we'd go in there and play in the afternoons. That was prior to it becoming the historical spot that it turned out to be.
Hmm. Are any of the musicians that were in your band, have they continued their musical careers as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, Larry Willis, for one.
On piano.
Yeah, he's a little senior to myself, a couple of years, but we all, that's the community of young musicians that was around during the 60s, the young lions of that period. And quite a few of them are still active and actively pursuing their careers.
Who else?
Another part of mine, he's not a musician, he's a famous basketball player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We used to run together. He played flute at one time.
Oh.
And we were all involved with the How You Act.
Do you want to tell me about that?
Anti-poverty program under the Kennedy administration up in Harlem. And that program, many great artists have come out of that program. People like George Faison, actor Antonio Fargas, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Anna Horsford, actress.
Oh, yeah.
Many. And
Anna Marie Horsford was right. She was involved in Soul, the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many young artists got started in those programs, and they had different departments. There was music, there was journalism, there was fashion, there was dance, there was theater. It'd be wonderful if we had programs like that around now.
Could you repeat the name of that program again, please?
HARYU Act, the Harlem Youth Act.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. What we're listening to right now is Jackie McLean and the Cosmic Brotherhood. It's featuring Renee McLean on either tenor, alto, or soprano sax. Jackie McLean on alto sax. Billy Skinner, whose solo we're speaking over now, on trumpet. Billy Gault on piano. James Fish Benjamin on bass. Michael Carvin, former Sugar guest, on drums. And this is from New York Calling. It is a 1987 Steeplechase, I guess, reissue. It was originally recorded in 1974. So don't ask me how that happened. Anyway, before that, we heard what did we hear? Wait a minute, what are we hearing? Oh, gosh, yeah, Africa, what am I doing? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The name of this song is Star Dancer. Before that, we heard Rites of Passage from Jackie McLean and the Mac Band from Fire and Love. That's a 1998 Blue Note record release. Before that, we heard Africa Aye from Kamati Dene Zulu. From Ancestral Spirits. This is an African Room Music 2010 release. And before that, we heard our theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from Nina Simone. Stay tuned for more. Renee McLean here on Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones. We'll be hearing from the Bandstand later with Hank Williams, our associate producer.
And he'll be letting you know of what's going on with our former sugar guests and where you can see them around town. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web.
Thank you.
When did you start playing with your father?
Oh, we played in the house.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up playing with Dad.
When did you go out and gig with him?
My first gigs with him started around that time. He would have me come, if he was performing at Slugs, I'd come in and he'd have me come and sit in, probably on the last set. And some nights he would split and leave me there to end up the night.
Wow. How did you feel with that going on?
It was quite intimidating.
Yeah.
However, as well as encouraging. But, you know, I was in training.
Yeah.
I was serving my apprenticeships, and that's the way it's done. That's the way it's passed, you know. He threw me in the deep water, and I had to swim.
Yeah. Wow. Who did you play with when you were doing those gigs with
Oh, who was in the band?
Yeah.
Billy Higgins.
Drums.
Yeah. Whole host of people, all the people that played with J-Mac during that period. Tommy Tarantine. I mean, Slugs was packed, you know. You could go there any night and walk in, and Kenny Durham would be there. Miles would be there. Freddie Hubbard, Lee Morgan, you name it. Everybody in one spot at some point during the course of the week.
Now, you mentioned your experiencing an apprenticeship, and with New York being the way it is these days, it seems to be harder and harder for this to exist. Is that how you see things, or are there opportunities that I just don't know about?
Well, it's no longer a scene anymore. During that time, there was a scene. You had a host of venues that had live music, particularly on the Lower East Side, as well as up in Midtown. There used to be the street, what they call the street, 52nd Street, and they tore that down to build Rockefeller Center. So in the 60s, 50s, 40s, there was a scene. But over the years, that's kind of disappeared. There was a circuit across all across this country that the musicians could work. You also had what they call the Chitlin Circuit. That doesn't exist. Those are venues in our communities, in the black communities all across this country. So the culture and the environment has changed drastically. I grew up during a period of time where I could go out any night of the week and see everybody and just about everybody at some place. The Village Gate, the Jazz Boat, La Michelle. There were many clubs, many venues. Club Coronet over in Brooklyn, you know. There was clubs up in the Bronx, up on Prospect Avenue, many places.
So, for young people today, outside of their being in university, I guess, are there any places where they can go? Are there clubs that they can hang in with folks?
I guess there are places that, you know, still exist, but the scene is totally different. Everything is such a business now that it's sometimes prohibitive for people to be out.
So you don't come across any jams or anything like that, or do you think jams are just a waste of time?
No, I don't think they're a waste of time. They're a necessary tool in helping young artists to develop, but I don't spend a lot of my time going to jam sessions.
Now, I suspect for you as a working musician, with the scene changing that much, in interacting with you, I noticed that you leave the area. You're not in New York. You're in other places to get your gigs.
Well, I mean, you have to go out into the world. Mm-hmm. And as I said, there's not a scene anymore in New York like there used to be. You have a handful of major venues that have live music. And realistically, you only can play in one of those venues maybe once or twice a year, you know. And then there's different levels of performance, and so one has to set their sights on particular goals.
Your first recording as a leader, I think, is Watch Out. Is that correct?
Yes.
70s?
Yes.
How did you come about getting that?
As a result of where my career was at that time, and then I was approached by Triloka, and J-Mac was also recording on the label, and I did some recordings with him.
How was that for you? How was your first experience as a leader recording?
Oh, it was great. It wasn't my first recording. My first recordings I did in 1968, 69, with some other artists.
You have one with Doug Karn, Doug and G. Karn.
Yeah, it's two or three with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've recorded with a lot of different people.
So as a leader, though, and that responsibility, did you feel ready for that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what you're hearing. Right now, you're listening to Balad as Sudan, Land of the Blacks. It's written by Renee McLean, tonight's Sugar My Bowl guest. This is from Watch Out, Steeplechase 1994 reissue. It was recorded in 1975. Renee McLean on tenor, saxophone, and soprano. tenor and soprano saxophone, Danny Coleman on trumpet and flugelhorn, Nathan Page on guitar, Hubert Aves, E-A-V-E-S, on piano, Buster Williams on bass, Freddie Waits on drums. And before that, we heard Watch Out, the title track from this release, the same release that Balad as Sudan, Land of the Blacks, is from. Same lineup. Before that, we heard Zimbabwe, also written by Renee McLean. Watch Out and Zimbabwe, also written by Renee McLean. Zimbabwe is from Jackie McLean, the Jackie McLean Quintet. Dynasty is the name of the release on the Triloka record label, 1990. Jackie McLean on alto sax, Nat Reeves on bass, Carl Allen on drums, Hotep Idris Galera on piano, and Renee McLean on tenor and soprano saxophone. And as I mentioned before, it was Star Dancer from New York Calling, Jackie McLean and the Cosmic Brotherhood. Don't you just love that name? Coming up after this song, Balad, we'll be hearing from Hank Williams and the Bandstand. And we're sort of running behind in our when we were supposed to play stuff, because we started later than we were supposed to. But we're here, and we're bringing Sugar and My Bowl to you. We will be back next week on the 17th. We're just not here on the end of at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month. So so it'll be easier to find us, except for on the last Sunday of the month. I take a break. I recuperate. Anyway, stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl and more from Watch Out, Balad, the Sudan, Land of the Blacks in particular, on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Thank you.
That's your mama. Hi, this is Roy Ayers. When I'm in New York, I listen to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for November 10th. This is a segment of the show where we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. For starters, this week, the musical Lady Day continues its run at the Little Schubert Theater on West 42nd Street, starring vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater as Billie Holiday. Go to LadyDayTheMusical.com for info and tickets. That's LadyDayTheMusical.com. You have two chances to see drummer Jeff Tane Watts this week. He plays with Niels Landoki at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club on November 13th and leads a quartet at Brooklyn's Shapeshifter Lab on the 15th. See jalc.org/dizzy's for info on the 13th, and you can go to shapeshifterlab.com for details on the 15th. That's shapeshifterlab, all one word, .com. Harpist Brandy Younger appears with a quartet for free on November 14th, 7 o'clock at the main branch of the Brooklyn Public Library in their Dweck Center. Go to brooklynpubliclibrary.org. Drummer and band leader Bobby Sanabria appears on November 16th with the Eugene Marlowe Heritage Ensemble at the congregation Adas Amuno in Leonia, New Jersey. And I'll point you to Bobby's website for details, bobbysanabria.com. Trombonist and multi-instrumentalist Craig Harris appears on November 17th, 3 o'clock, at the Mount Morris Association Presbyterian Church. That's at 122nd Street and Mount Morris Park West in Manhattan. Admission is less than the price of a movie. Details are on Craig's website at craigsharris.com. And make sure you put the S in there for craigsharris.com. Looking ahead to next week, on the 22nd, pianist Michelle Rosewoman and her new Yoruba small ensemble will be at the Clemente Soto Velez Center on the Lower East Side as part of Arts for Arts Latin Free Jazz Mini Festival. Go to artsforart.org. Vocalist Renee Marie will be at the Jazz Standard with a tribute to Eartha Kitt from the 21st to the 24th. Go to jazzstandard.net for details on those shows. That's jazzstandard.net. Finally, organist John Medeski will be at Les Poissons Rouges on November 24th as part of a 78th birthday celebration for Roswell Rudd. Go to LesPoissonsRouges.com for information. That's Les Poisson, spelled P-O-I-S-S-O-N, Rouge, R-O-U-G-E, .com. If you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click on the link for the blog. You can also find tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows on our website. Finally, the fall fun drive has ended, but a reminder that WBAI is still in serious financial trouble. Help keep Sugar and My Bowl on the air by pledging whatever you can at give2wbai.org. This is Hank Williams signing off, and thanks to our newly expanded schedule, I'll see you next week, Sunday, November 17th, on the Bandstand.
And we'd like to thank Hank Williams for letting you know what's coming up next. Well, coming up in days to come from former Sugar guests. And stay tuned for more with Renee McLean here on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Do you teach as well?
Yes. At present, I'm teaching at the Jack McLean Institute at the University of Hartford, as well as at the Artist Collective, the cultural program we have up in Hartford. So I'm there between both places, a couple of days out of the week, between Artist Collective and the Jack McLean Institute. And then I taught for a number of years at the University of Cape Town in South Africa.
That's actually where I was going to go.
I lived in South Africa for more than 20 years, and I'm still back and forth.
How'd you wind up over there?
I went on tour with Hugh Masekela and Mary Makeba in, actually, 1980. And I stayed.
What made you stay?
We went to Lesotho and Botswana and Swaziland and matters of the heart. I met someone and that started a long-distance relationship, and I was back and forth for a number of years and then decided to settle there.
Thank you.
satellite being in South Africa? Because when I read that, I thought, wow, that's a lot of time to be away.
Yeah. Well, that's my second home. And it was at the height of apartheid. Uh-huh. And that presented certain challenges for me politically and just what was going on in South Africa at the time. And my wife wanted to go back home. She was here for a short period and decided she needed, had enough of this, she needed to go home. I had the work to do in the struggle, and I was also very active in the anti-apartheid movement. And while I was there, you know, I was teaching. It was a cultural center there, which I took over the direction of the music program, developed that, and I have many fine young students at the time who now have flourishing careers in South Africa.
Wow.
So it was a labor of love. Oh, yes, I'm back and forth. My family there, my daughters are there. And I'm between two places, like I've been for many years.
It seems like a lot of musicians become very international once they decide to play this music.
Well, that's what it is. It's, when you talk about world music, that's what you're talking about. And this music will take you all over the world and out into the universe.
What do you teach when you are teaching?
I teach the history course, which is the core foundation of the program my father started at the University of Hartford, the history of African-American music. I teach ensembles. I teach saxophone and flutes and improvisation and concept.
What does that mean?
Formulating the concept and approach to what you do artistically. You know, everybody's at different levels and different places. They come to the music from different paths, and you have to do a lot of work helping young people to formulate their concepts and their attitudes towards life. Mm-hmm. The music is about life. That's where the music comes from. Everybody's got a story.
So how is it for you expressing your story through this music?
Well, it's what I do. It's an extension of who I am. And you try to share that with the world. I find inspiration in many places. And, of course, I practice. You have to practice on the instrument to make it subservient to your ideas and mm-hmm. what you want to do with it. There's a lot of different things that one has to do, which hopefully gives you inspiration.
Now, that sort of handles the technical aspect of handling your approach to the music, but actually being open to it, to receive whatever has to come to you in order to play your voice. How do you go about that?
There are many disciplines, you know, it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. And everybody has to find that path or what that is kind of for themselves.
Now, since I'm talking to you, what is your path?
It's living my life mm-hmm. and doing what I do that inspires me. I deliberately avoid defining any one of a particular thing. This music is an extension of a person's life and what you do with your life. What your beliefs are, etc. So I don't want to lead anybody astray,
okay.
So to speak.
Okay.
You know, certain things you have to figure out for yourself at a certain point. It's more than just being in a room practicing an instrument.
What are you doing presently, musically?
I just came back from a short tour with Mary Baraka. We were just in Italy. I have a few performances coming up. One up in Old Lyme, Connecticut at a place called the Side Door Jazz on the 23rd of November. And some recording projects I'm working on, music that I'm composing.
Do you want to share some of the recording projects?
Well, it's just, you know, I have been recording over a period of time. I have some recordings that Jay Mack and I did together that we haven't released. So gathering all of that and getting ready to release that, I'm always working on something.
What is your writing process like?
My writing process? I don't know that I have a process.
Oh.
It's when it comes to me, I put it down. When I get that inspiration, I can do it. It's not something as structured as, well, I'm going to sit down tomorrow between 3 and 5 and write. I don't work that way.
Okay.
Sometimes I do when I know I have something I'm working out. But inspiration comes, and that's when I'll put it together.
I've seen you a couple of times with Amiri Baraka. And how did you wind up working with him?
I've known Amiri for many years. He's been a mentor, in a sense, just in terms of who he is. And he's one of the last really hip people and heavy people. And he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of America's greatest minds. And to be with him and be in an environment and interact with him, we've been working together on and off for many years, since the 80s. And I was honored that, you know, he asked me to join him and be a part of what he's doing with Word Music. And being on the bandstand with Amiri is like being on the bandstand with J-Mac, Coltrane, Dexter, or any of them. What he does with the Word is phenomenal. To me, it's important. In terms of who he is, what he represents, what we do together creatively, and he's living history. And to be able to rub shoulders with him like that, he's a senior to me, and it's an apprenticeship.
So in working with Amiri, is he the only spoken word work with?
No, I've worked with other artists, a few different artists that work with me within the context of what I do at times. So, and I like working with different artists and different mediums because it presents certain creative challenges and it keeps one from getting bored or stayed. I'm always looking for a new creative adventure.
Do you notice a difference between working with a spoken word and sort of vocalists, singers?
Yeah, that's different. There's a different dynamic taking place. One is a song form in terms of harmonic and melodic structure, whereas the spoken word, the form and the spontaneity of it, particularly those spoken word artists who are creating right on the spot.
Mm. So it's very much like improv.
Yeah. So is working with a vocalist, but improvising and composing on the spot are two different things. And you have to work out where and how you fit into all of it.
Have you worked with?
Aminata Moseka, Arthur Prysock, Gene Karn, Abdullahi Jabate, Mary Makeba, Hugh Masakela. The list is long and varied.
Yeah.
Between Alviles, there's a whole plethora of Latin musicians, African musicians.
There was Mongo Santa Maria's son?
Thank you.
Santa Maria. Yeah, that was the first band we had, yeah. Mm. That's back in 1968. We were high school buddies, and we did several recordings. And I also played with Mongo, I played with Tito Puente, I played with Tito Rodriguez, I played with Pitín Avilés, Charlie Parker, Celia Cruz. Mm. As I said, the list is long and good.
How was it playing, quote, I guess, genre Latin music? Did it come from having been in New York? Or?
Yeah, I mean, just growing up in New York on the Lower East Side and having schoolmates and buddies like Ishmael Miranda. We were in school together. And Willie Colon and all those guys. Those were my buddies. We grew up running around in the Bronx and Harlem. And so I was very much a part of that scene in late 60s. 70s, I used to work seven nights a week working with the Latin bands, Tito Puente, and all of those bands. And through that, you know, you connect with other musicians and get called on or sub on other bands and things. I used to sub for altoist, very fine altoist, Danny Turner. He was with Michito's band. He would call me to sub for him. And so it was during that period the work was plentiful, and I was able to sustain myself, you know, working that set and also the jazz scene and then R&B and all of that.
Mm-hmm. What did you do in the R&B scene?
Playing with the different bands, you know.
You did session
Joe
work?
Simon and, you know, on the road with different bands, mm-hmm. Bobby Band, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very rich period when I look back on it.
I guess also it helped you become ready for anything. I mean,
well, that's the goal at that point. When you're trying to be a musician, you're trying to have the skills to handle what comes your way as a musician. Mm-hmm. And you do that for a period of time, and then you hope you keep your eye on the prize so you can move from being a musician to being an artist. I make a distinction.
Uh-huh.
It's like someone being a mechanic. You know, you repair cars. Some bring you a Cadillac, you both repair them. But other people design cars. So, you know, hopefully, depending on what your goals are, you can get to the point where you are an artist.
Uh-huh.
And I define myself at this point in time in my life and career as an artist. I'm not running around trying to be a musician and playing every gig that comes my way. I don't have any desire to do that. I'm looking to do things that fulfill me creatively and have a particular meaning in my life.
So you mentioned when you were in South Africa, you did a lot of work around anti-apartheid work and what have you.
Well, that was before I went to South Africa. That whole movement, the anti-apartheid movement, I was working with Ema Sekela and Miriam involved in playing a lot of events for SWAPO, ZANU, ANC. We were active.
Uh-huh.
And that was also part of my social, political education and responsibility. As artists, we're activists, and we have to put art at the service of liberation struggle.
Where has that taken you today?
As they say, a luta continua, the struggle continues. I'm still playing this music, being creative. I'm out with Mary Baraka. It continues.
Yeah.
Still a lot of work to do.
Do you see it being more difficult today, having it be relevant to younger people?
Of course. That's why I teach what I'm doing. That's what I do. That's what this music is about. And passing the culture, passing the torch.
When you're not in the classroom, how do you function in the teaching role?
Well, I'm not in the classroom or in the bandstand. That's the classroom. It doesn't end. My social interaction with people, with the community, it's a constant give and take.
So is there anything you want to tell the listeners of Sugar Mabo and WBAI about Renee McLean that I haven't touched on?
I think we've touched on quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
I think we've given folks enough for now. All I can say, if y'all come up to Side Door Jazz in Old Lyme, Connecticut on the 23rd. We're celebrating the spirit and legacy of J. Matt special guests is Gary Bartz, Alan Palmer on piano, Matt Reeves on bass, Ronnie Barrage drums, and Neil Clark, African percussion. So we'll be holding court there, and we ask all of you to come out and join us and celebrate and absorb this great music.
Now, is that going to be coming to New York City by any chance, that lineup?
Hopefully. I'm working on some things, so hopefully we'll be hitting here in New York soon. It's been a while. I haven't played in New York in a minute, but we're working on it.
Well, thank you so much, Renee McLean, for sitting with us and sharing your career.
Thank you, Joyce. It's wonderful having you here, have you interrogate me. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
right. Woo! That was smoking. That was Tito Puente and his concert orchestra. Yeah, there are like a billion and one musicians on here, and if you go to... Actually, if you join our Facebook page, and you go to our Sugar in My Bowl event page for Renee McLean, you'll be able to see that list, but, you know, our playlist will be up probably tomorrow. Maybe Hank has, you know, called it a night. It's late. He's got to work. But that was Tito Puente and his concert orchestra. This is on, it was called Black Brothers. And the release is Tito Puente and his concert orchestra. It was a 1973 Tico Records release. And what we're listening to right now, because I didn't get a chance to ask Woody Shaw about, I mean, Renee McLean about working with Woody Shaw. This is Woody Shaw from Woody 3. To Kill a Brick is the name of the release, and this is composed by Renee McLean. It's Woody Shaw cornet, James Spaulding alto sax on the right channel, Renee McLean alto sax on the left channel, Anaje Allen Gums on piano, Buster Williams on bass, Victor Lewis on drums. Let's see, which one is this? Yeah, that's James Spaulding. Let's see now. Before that, we heard, yes, Tito Puente. Before Tito Puente, we heard Mambo New, Manguito Santa Maria, Hey Sisters, the name of the release, Fania Records, 1969. That's Manguito Santa Maria on piano. Andy Gonzalez, a 17-year-old Andy Gonzalez on bass. Jose Manuel Jr. on bongos. Renee McLean on tenor, soprano saxophone. Sam Turner on congas. Before that, we heard Rebel Jihad, written by Renee McLean, from Doug Karn, featuring Gene Karn. Revelations, the name of the release, that's 1973 Black Jazz. And Gene Karn's on vocals. Oludara, trumpet, vocals, alto horn. Renee McLean, vocals, tenor, and soprano sax. Nathan Page on guitar. Walter Booker on bass. Earl McIntyre on bass trumpet. Ira Williams on drums. And actually, listen to this for a moment, because I got to let the La Nueva Alternativa people in, because we were late before. Hold on. All right. Now, what do we have here? We have before Jihad, we have Dance Little Mandisa. That's a Renee McLean release, live in South Africa, Generations to Come. It's an iJazza Records 2002 release. It was originally recorded in 1998. You can go to the Sugar My Bowl site for the musician list. Destiny's Romance, Renee McLean release. The Rites of Passage is the name of that release. Triloca Records, 1991. Jackie McLean on alto sax. And for the rest, Renee McLean on tenor and soprano. For the rest of the list, sugarinmybowl.org. And then we went, before that was our break, before the bandstand, Bilal as Sudan. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa. They're here. They're setting up. Come. Hurry. And, yeah. Because I got to get out of here. Things were just so haphazard before. But they'll be right back on track with La Nueva Alternativa. We'll be back next week. Sugar in My Bowl. Stay tuned. As a matter of fact, the plan is a Eartha Kitt special. So stay tuned to WBAI for more stuff.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.